Hey, listen, we're glad that you are here today. I'm really excited that you're here. Today, we're going to close up this subject that we've been talking about for several weeks now, about closing the distance, about getting close and staying close to God. Last week, I must have caused quite a stir because I shared with you about a backslider, you know, about being a backslider. And at lunch, that was the topic of conversation. We went out to lunch with some folks, and that was what we all talked about, was about how we had all at one time been a backslider. That was an admission we all made. And several of you wrote me notes about the message last week and how encouraging it was to you and helpful. And you know, we don't want to get here because it's a terrible place to be in this relationship with God, to where we've kind of created distance again. And that's what we've been talking about the last several weeks. Today I want to start by talking about cats. Who? We got one cat lover in the room. You got any cat lovers here? There's some of you here. I've inherited two cats for the next 2 years. Okay, if you would like a cat, I can hook you up, all right? I hope my daughter doesn't listen to this over in London, because it's their cats. But, you know, something about me and cats, it came in the bedroom last night, actually, and jumped up on the pillow, and I'm like, no way, dude, okay? You go back to the basement. You're not sleeping next to my head, all right? But anyway, cats. Here, let me do it today. You know what you get when you cross a leopard with a watchdog? A terrified postman. I got more. You want more cat jokes? I'm full. What did the cat say to the or what did the 300-pound canary say to the cat? Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Did you hear about the cat that swallowed the ball of yarn? Yeah, she had a litter of mittens. Okay. I got more. You want more? No, I'll stop there. I will. I heard a comedian say one time that dogs are Christians and cats aren't. Okay, and his rationale, this isn't mine, but his rationale was that a dog, you know, will love you. A dog will lick your hand. A dog will easily forgive you if you do something wrong. Said if you reach down to pet a cat, what does it do? It sticks its butt up in the air. Said that's not Christian. Okay. Okay, all right, that's my cat material. Here's the point, all right? There is a point. You want to hear the point? What do these pictures have in common? They're cuteness. Besides, every cat lover, yeah, they're cute. You know what they have in common? Determination. Determination. You see, that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about determination. In other words, when we're talking about getting close and staying close to God, what we have to be is we have to be determined. We have to be willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get close to God. And then when we're there, whatever it takes to stay there. Whatever it takes. Whatever thing I need to deny, whatever thing I need to never touch again, whatever it takes. Whoever I need to dispel out of my life, whatever it takes, whatever steps I need to take to get in this place of closeness with you, whatever it takes. You see, that's what you and I need to have. I found this quote. I love this quote about determination. It said, "There's no chance, no destiny, no fate that can hinder or control the firm resolve of a determined soul." Whatever it takes. You know, all of us have stories that we could tell about great obstacles that have been overcome by determination. I mean, all of us know somebody who beat the odds and did something great because of determination. I want to teach you today about what the Bible says about determination. And I want to start in this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 9. Now, Before I talk to you about this, let me tell you just a brief little story about this. Many years ago, we took a trip here at the church. We rented a couple of buses, and we went down to see the Behold the Lamb at the Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster. We took two busloads, if I can remember, and it was the first thing that I ever saw at Sight and Sound. Did you ever see it? Let me see your hand. Did you ever see Behold the Lamb at Sight and Sound? It's incredible, isn't it? We took a bunch of people here from the church, and it was so moving to me that we came back home, and I got online, and I ordered three tickets for the next day because I wanted to take Arlene. She didn't get to go, and I wanted to take our kids who were just young teenagers then. I wanted them to experience this particular show. Now, here was the episode, because I saw it the day before, and then I was seeing it again, and I kind of knew what was coming. I mean, I kind of read the story anyway. I had an inkling there. But I mean the production. And there was one particular part of the story, and if you've seen it, you'll remember this. It's early in Jesus' ministry, and they're singing and they're dancing around the courtyard, and Jesus is there, and everybody's singing and dancing around him. And this woman is in this scene. Now, the second time I saw it, I knew what was coming. I didn't see it the first time, because the first time that I saw it, all of a sudden the music stopped and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" I'm thinking, I didn't see anybody touching. I mean, everybody was on stage, but then the second time I saw her. I saw this woman. And as she was dancing around, you could tell that she was just kind of in the crowd, and she was getting closer to Jesus. And you know, I knew what was coming, and I kind of watched my kids, and I watched Arlene, you know, and as I saw Jesus go by her, and as she reached out and she touched the bottom of his coat, the hem of his garment. And then all of a sudden the music and the dancing stopped, and I watched my kids, and they're like, "Oh." Because this scene catches your eye. It catches your attention. Look at what it says. It says, "Just then a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought," and look at this, "if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed." She just wanted to get close. In her mind, in her heart, she felt, she understood that if I just get close, that my life will be changed. You know, I love newer versions of the Bible, and this is the NLT, the New Living Translation. But, you know, I was raised on the old King James Version, and I just want to touch the hem of his garment. And she was healed. You see, that woman came there that day determined to get close to Jesus. And in some way, she believed in her heart and in her mind and in her soul that if she did, she could find wholeness and wellness. You know, this isn't the only story in the Bible that kind of depicts this. I mean, we don't have time to look at them all, but what about the four friends that lowered the dude down in the hole in the roof? Lowered him down so that they could put him right in front of Jesus, get close to Jesus. Can you imagine that day? Okay, here's the guy that owns the home, and he's standing there, and he's like, "Man, this is awesome. Jesus is in my house." You know, and he's appreciating what Jesus is saying, that Jesus is healing and teaching and all this, and all of a sudden, what was that? All of a sudden, the roof opens up, and here these guys are, and they lower this friend down right in front of Jesus. Why? Because they believe that if they got him close to Jesus, that he would be healed. There's all kinds of things like this in the Bible. How about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, before he became Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, and he was on a road. He was on a road to Damascus, the Bible tells us. And it says that Jesus appeared to him. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And up until that moment, Saul's life was distinctively hostile to the kingdom of God. But because of that encounter, because of that closeness with Jesus, he came away an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you that in just a few moments in a tremendous, tremendous way. But think about this, folks. What does it take to be determined? Well, what it takes to be determined is desire. A desire to get close to God, a desire to hear Him speak and teach, a desire to allow Him to change your life. What else it takes? It takes obedience. It takes an obedient heart to the teaching of Jesus and what He is saying to you. What does it take? It takes faithfulness. It takes desire. It takes obedience. It takes faithfulness. She had desire. She had obedience. She became faithful. The Apostle Paul, he had a desire which led to obedience, which led to faithfulness. Are you determined? You see, because without desire and obedience and faithfulness, are you really determined? There's a lot of people here this morning, I think, that, you know, let me just say this. I believe with all my heart that you are as close to God as you want to be. You ever hear people that talk about closeness to God and that they don't have it and they blame people? They blame people in their family. They blame people they work with. They blame their church. They blame their pastor. But you know, really, folks, I am as close to God as I wanted to be. Am I determined? Am I willing to do whatever it takes? Do I have the desire? Do I have the obedience? Do I have the faithfulness? Because that's what it means. And we have to be willing to do whatever it takes to be close and to stay close to God. Now, let me show you a great example of this from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, let me give you a little bit of a background about this particular passage. You need to go and read this. I don't have time to read this entire chapter to you this morning, but you need to read it. Because what you will see there is that you will see a frustrated apostle, Paul. Paul was close to Jesus. He got close to Jesus. Jesus changed his life. But Paul went through a time in life when he was frustrated. He was frustrated because of people that wouldn't listen. He was frustrated because people wouldn't obey. He was frustrated because people were questioning whether or not he had the authority from God. People questioned whether or not he should have even been considered an apostle. They questioned. And if you read 1 Corinthians 9, you will read about someone that is frustrated. And I think there's some frustrated people here this morning too. Frustrated with ourselves. Who we are, who we're not. Frustrated with other people around us. Any men here frustrated with their wives? No, don't show me your hands. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. That's a question you should never ask in public. Or the other way around. But I know one thing. There's some of you here that are. There's some wives here that are really frustrated with their husbands. Having frustrations with your kids. Any frustrations with your job? Any frustrations about with people and what they think about you? Or how they're questioning you? Or how they're accusing you? That's 1 Corinthians 9. But what you're going to see when you read this passage of Scripture is you're going to see this person that's frustrated with so many things and so many people. But here's what he says in verse number 12. And I don't have it on the screen, but hear this. This is a quote. Paul says, "We would rather put up with anything than be an obstacle to the good news about Jesus Christ." You see, because all of our frustrations are really obstacles that God has to overcome to do His work. And Paul is saying here that the way that you overcome frustration is just with a dogged determination to do whatever it takes to further the kingdom of God. You know, the interesting thing about 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is that Paul mentions six different people, six positions in life, six jobs, if you will, that people had. And he talks about soldiers, and he talks about athletes, and he talks about priests, and he talks about slaves, and even shepherds, and he mentions farmers. And when you read all of these, what he says, in other words, he says, what soldier has to pay his own expenses? What farmer plants a vineyard and doesn't have the right to eat some of its fruit? What shepherd cares for a flock of sheep and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? He said, don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? He goes on and on and on. And in the end, he mentions the athlete, and he says all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Now think about this, folks, because I think that this is really freeing. Paul mentions all these people in the midst of his own struggles and his own frustrations. And he basically says that the reason that these soldiers, the reason that these shepherds, these farmers, these slaves, these athletes, these priests, the reason that they're able to accomplish and to do the things that they do is because of their determination. An athlete never finishes a race without determination. And you and I need to understand this concept. So very much. You see, Paul had a desire above every other desire to preach the name of Jesus. His obedience is heralded in the advancement of the gospel. His faithfulness is historic in the way that we think about him. But he was able to do all of this even though he experienced a great deal of frustration in life. You see, a lot of times our frustration, it numbs us. It paralyzes us in our ability to respond appropriately to whatever is before us. But if we can overcome our frustration and we can be determined, then there's nothing that we can't do. I love Psalm 119, verse 10. David says, with all my heart I've sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Notice two things about this verse. One thing's about David. The other thing's about God. Here's the thing about David. David's desire was that he, with all of his heart, that he would seek God. Determination. Do you feel that way about your relationship with God? I mean, can you say, as David says here, that with all my heart, I've sought you? The other thing is about God. It's really a prayer. David prays. David prays and says, do not let me wander from your commandments. You see what I mean? We're talking about this desire that we have in life, and that desire leads to obedience, and out of that obedience comes faithfulness. The desire is that, God, I'm going to seek you with all of my being. But don't let me wander too far from your commandments. That's obedience. That's faithfulness. You see, and a lot of times I think we make the jump and have the desire. We just don't follow it up with the obedience and the faithfulness. We don't follow it up with this prayer. We say to ourselves or in ourselves, you know what? I want God more than anything else. I want all my heart to seek after Him. But then we don't go to that next step and say, oh, by the way, God, help me to be obedient. Help me to keep your commands. It's interesting. I don't know if you've ever been taught this about Psalm 119, but do you know that the Word of God is mentioned in every verse? Every verse. A lot of verses in Psalm 119. And every verse mentions the Word. Now, it uses different words. It'll talk about commandments. It'll talk about precepts. It'll talk about lots of different things. But they're all used in reference to the Word of God. Because you see, folks, it's one thing to say, God, I want you. I want to seek you. Now I'm going to obey you in how I live. You see, that's a real problem with some people today. But we have to be able to do and be willing to do whatever it takes. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "For I determined," there's that word, "to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You see, Paul was marching into these pagan cities of Asia Minor, and he's saying, listen, there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to want to talk about. There's going to be a lot of things that you're going to say that's going to frustrate me. I'm going to be really upset about who you worship and how you worship and all these things that you do. But the most important thing is that I stay close to God. That I am determined to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him all of the rest of my days. This past week, Kristen made it to London. I mentioned to you that she left the dog here. On Tuesday, I got up and we'd set up this thing where we could FaceTime with them on their computer. So I called them and they were up and we were there on a video conference. And I said to her, and I turned it around and showed her dog, Meatloaf. I love Meatloaf, just not him. So Meatloaf says hello. Now we talked and we hung up, and Wednesday, she called. We're talking and they're telling me about this and that and the other, and I walked outside because the dogs were out in the yard, and I turned the phone around and I let her see Meatloaf running around the yard, and then we hung up. And then Thursday, she's on the phone and Meatloaf's actually laying on my lap, and I turned the phone around and let her see him laying there. And then she said to me, "Dad, don't show me Meatloaf quite so much." What I was doing was having the exact opposite effect of what I wanted it to do. I wanted her to see that he was okay. I hadn't killed him. And I wanted her to see him running around and having a good time. And, you know, he would even sniff the phone. But that wasn't enough for her. That may be as time goes on, but that wasn't enough for her. Sometimes I think that that's our relationship with God. You see Him up on a screen, or you hear Him in a song. And all the while, God's saying, you know what? That's not enough. But you see, folks, that doesn't have to be all we get of God. I mean, we are as close to God as we want to be, but God is available. God is there. God wants to live and walk with us. He wants to be as real as someone sitting next to you. He wants to be so close to you that your life is changed. He wants you to just reach out your hand and touch the hem of His garment He wants to experience you at a well like the woman did, who had gone there every day with nothing, and finally when she got close to him, her life was changed. He wants to have the experience with you like he had with the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, where he came diametrically opposed to everything God stood for, and he left that experience being totally committed to him. And it's all there for us to experience and to have, if we want it more than anything else. If we have the determination to get there and the desire to be obedient and the faith to walk away, to be faithful the rest of our days. But it's not up to me. It is up to me with me, and it's up to you for you. But getting close and staying close to God is the key to not only happiness here, but joy for all eternity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for good morning. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to get close and opportunity to stay close, Lord, to you. May, Lord, you see our determination to want that, to achieve that, to have that, Lord, all of our days. And even now, as we sing about laying our hearts down before you, God, I pray that that happens all over this room. That folks, Lord, just relinquish their life to you and their desire, Lord, to do whatever it takes to get close and stay close to you. May it be so, Lord, for all of us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.